I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, Formula Drift, the motorsport dedicated to those who drive out of control on purpose. Sounds like fun. But first, the fun I'll have with Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The NBA season began this week after a blockbuster trade over the weekend sent James Harden from Oklahoma City to Houston. I don't know whether Harden's $80 million contract will be good for the Houston Rockets in the long run, but in the short run, it worked out pretty well, don't you think?
Well, it's interesting because the reason that Harden was capable of being traded was that he had signed a deal with Oklahoma for less money than he was actually worth, thereby enabling to trade him. Something very similar to what Rajon Rondo has done with the Celtics, where you take a bit of a discount to stay where you are, and that, in the odd mathematics of the NBA, makes you more tradable, not less.
And, of course, in his first game with his new team, he scored about a billion points. The L.A. Lakers, on the other hand, did not get off to a great start, and I suppose Kobe Bryant had something intelligent to say about that.
Shut up!
Is that what he said?
I'm not talking to you. That's what he told everybody. He said everybody should shut up and let them work. Okay, dead silence at all Laker games till they get things back on the track. That's my deal.
That'd be cool. Okay, quiz time.
Okay.
To what was Cleveland Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert referring when he said this week, quote, "That probably was not the most brilliant thing I've done in my life."
Buying the Cavaliers?
No.
No, it wasn't buying the Cavaliers. It was guaranteeing that the Cavaliers would win an NBA title before LeBron James did. And it's very hard to argue with Mr. Gilbert on this one for admitting the absolute obvious.
The NBA now has penalties for flopping, as we have discussed, and it sounds like the No Fun League might be following suit. Does the NFL need an anti-flopping rule?
Now, apparently there's some finagling with pass interference and stuff like that, and people pretending to be injured because it slows the game down and gets you like a de facto extra timeout and so forth. So the National Football League naturally will pass a rule against this at some point. The competition committee, according to the league, quote, deprecates feigning injury with subsequent withdrawal to obtain a timeout without penalty. Coaches are urged to cooperate in discouraging this practice.
Hmm.
Coaches are not going to cooperate. They're not going to discourage the practice, and we will have a rule by the end of next year.
For the record, if somebody ever forced me to play one down in the National Football League, I would flop well before the snap.
But you most likely would not be faking injury either. I mean, they'd just run over you.
We are just halfway through the National Football League season, but it's never too early for pundits to begin predicting a Manning v. Manning Super Bowl XLVII. Sounds like as good a reason as any to cheer for the Giants and the Broncos for the next 9 weeks, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the Broncos are going to be there. I saw the Broncos play against the Patriots. They don't have the defense to make the Super Bowl. It's a nice thought, but it's not going to happen.
The last legal hurdle has been cleared for construction of a new NFL stadium in Los Angeles. Meanwhile, the mayor of London says that he's in talks to bring games to Olympic Stadium. So who wins that tug of war?
Wait a minute. The last legal hurdle has been cleared for construction of a football stadium in NFL. Unfortunately, there's a somewhat substantial pragmatic hurdle in terms of that, which is there's no team there yet.
That doesn't stop people from building a stadium. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, if you build it, they will steal the team from somewhere else and move it to your town.
Right, precisely.
But I like the idea of road trips to London. This sounds like a good idea. I think Boris Johnson has the right thing to do. They had 80,000 people at Wembley to watch the Patriots. Maybe the Patriots can just, like, split time. They're the closest franchise,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Former Penn State President Graham Spanier was formally charged this week with covering up the crimes of convicted child sex abuser Jerry Sandusky. Will the prosecution of Spanier and other Penn State officials deter behavior like this in the future?
One hopes that there will never be behavior like this in the future. We will see now what should have happened with the Roman Catholic Church and one of the places, the Archdiocese of Boston. We will see what the effect of actually prosecuting the enablers and the accessories after the fact, before and after the fact, and the coverers up occasions.
This week, the NCAA announced, quote, a package of sweeping changes that will expand postseason bans for the most egregious infractions, make coaches subject to suspensions for violations committed by staff members, and speed up the litigation process. And so it sounds like pretty much everything you were hoping they would do, right?
More money, more money, more money, more money. There will be more cheating. There will be more. You know what more NCAA rules means? More NCAA rules to break.
Charlie, even if we have a classic winter, it looks as if we won't have a winter classic. The National Hockey League has canceled same, so that ought to fix that stubborn hockey players union, right?
Once again, Gary Bettman, using a nuclear weapon where a kind phone call would have sufficed. I think they're willing to sacrifice an entire season to claw back what little they didn't claw back the last time they sacrificed a whole season. These people are the most disreputable owners in the history of professional sports.
We have not yet had the opportunity to offer a tip of the only a game cap to the San Francisco Giants, who have now earned 2 World Series rings in 3 years. You want to do the honors?
But you've been tipping your cap privately, that being your old ball club when you were a kid.
I don't even recognize
them. Oh, really?
My Giants are the Giants of Mays, McCovey, Cepeda, Juan Marichal.
Tim Lincecum, no. Fine, the chubby little infielder who hits all the home runs,
perfectly
no good?
Fine young man.
Anyway, are they a dynasty? I have no idea, but 2 out of 3 is not bad.
This week, the Tampa Bay Rays announced the return of Don Zimmer as a, quote, senior advisor to the team. And senior is certainly right. He's 81 years old. He's spent time with 13 ball clubs over 64 seasons. I wonder if, even as we speak, somebody in the Guinness organization is figuring out whether that's a record.
This is something about which I do not care. You know, I really don't. I mean, Don Zimmer has never drawn a paycheck outside of baseball. Terrific. You know what? That means he's just a fairly limited human being.
My recollection is that the World Series of Poker used to be won by old grizzled guys with nicknames like Slim and Texas Dolly, but this week the event was won by a 24-year-old named Greg Merson, who made himself $8.5 million in the process, and as far as I know, he doesn't have a nickname. You want to suggest one?
Well, apparently the Washington Post has suggested he be called the Lincoln Memorial of professional poker players.
That's a terrible nickname.
It's a long one. It needs to be cut down, maybe Link or something. But apparently he's overcome drug addiction and stuff, and Merson just sort of sits there and only moves his hands to move the chips.
And finally, Charlie, the world's number one male tennis player, Novak Djokovic, was apparently confident enough to show up for his Halloween Eve second round match in the Paris Masters in a Darth Vader mask. And how'd that work out for him?
Well, actually, it worked out great because then he could leave the facility in humiliation without anyone knowing it was him, because he wound up losing in 3 sets to Sam Querrey. I find his lack of a backhand disturbing.
He couldn't breathe right.
No.
If that was the problem, I bet.
I'll bet that's what... No!
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places, and he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.